I'm Tanzina Vega. Welcome back to The Takeaway. And we're just discussing mass demonstrations that have shaken ruling parties across the world. Many of these protests have taken place in South America, Africa, and the Middle East. And as we mentioned, civil unrest has also been present here at home in the United States. And now, as the House impeachment inquiry continues to trudge along, David Leonhardt, op-ed columnist with The New York Times, argues that it's time for a public push for Trump's removal rather than just a congressional one. David, thanks for being on The Takeaway.
Thank you, Tanzina.
So why do you say protests are an important part of removing Trump from office? I mean, why are the institutional paths to impeachment not enough right now?
There are two things I think about here. One, if we just look at the what I call the inside game of politics, it seems pretty clear how this is likely to end. The Democrats in the House are going to impeach Trump, and the Senate Republicans are going to acquit him. There's not much sign that Senate Republicans are seriously considering removing him for what he's done. But I like to think back to what happened shortly after Trump took office, when it really looked like Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, was doomed. Republicans had campaigned on repealing it. Republicans controlled the White House, the Senate, and back then the House. I mean, all they had to do was pass a bill and have President Trump sign it, which they all said they were going to do. But there was this upsurge of demonstration, and it really called attention to how out of the ordinary repeal would be. And it really focused public attention on it, and it made it more politically difficult for Congress to do that. And ultimately, they didn't. And I think that's a reminder that politics isn't just the inside game. It's the outside game as well.
You mentioned the activism around the Affordable Care Act. In the past decade, we've seen Occupy Wall Street. We've seen Black Lives Matter. We've seen the Women's March. How would you compare those to what we saw with the Affordable Care Act?
I think the Affordable Care Act, the defending of the Affordable Care Act had a really clear success, right? It was the Affordable Care Act was either going to be gotten rid of and millions of Americans were going to lose their health insurance, basically to pay for a tax cut for wealthy people, or it wasn't. And so the Save Obamacare movement fundamentally succeeded. I think the legacy of some of those other movements is a little bit less clear. So I would argue that the Women's March was successful in part because it led to the midterm victories for the Democrats. I think Black Lives Matter was successful in that it clearly changed the conversation. And, you know, Occupy Wall Street was arguably successful in that it made inequality a more salient political issue. But many of the things that the activists in Occupy Wall Street were actually calling for hasn't happened. But again, that's a reminder that when public protest is organized and it's a big deal and people are passionate and peaceful about it, it often shifts the debate. All those are examples where it had some effect.
In terms of landmass, I mean, the United States is extremely spread out geographically. Do you think that poses an issue to a powerful national protest?
I think it makes it harder. If you look around the world right now, this is sort of a moment of protest, right? You can see people in Hong Kong protesting. You can see people in the Middle East protesting. And it's true that in some of those societies, Hong Kong's a good example, they're more urban, they're more compact. The same is true in Europe and some countries that have had big protest movements. But we have our urban places, right? We have places where it's entirely possible to imagine thousands or even millions of people gathering. I mean, some 4 million people marched in different cities in the first Women's March. And then the other thing I'd add is it's not just the big marches. They get most of the attention. But arguably the most effective part of the Obamacare, Save Obamacare movement were the town halls where people went and they asked questions, probing, respectful questions of Republican members of Congress and said, how can you get rid of my health care? And you can imagine something similar now, which how can you defend this president who is trying to put summits at his own resorts, who constantly lies, who invited foreign interference in the election? So it's not just the big marches. And let me be clear, it's not guaranteed to lead to the Senate convicting him. It may not even be likely, but I do think it could mobilize and galvanize people and help send a message to the country that President Trump's behavior is entirely out of the ordinary. We've never had a president of either party who has behaved the way he has. And I think it's important to send a signal here that this is not normal. And there are days right now where President Trump's extreme abnormality feels normal, and that worries me.
And yet there are people, David, as you know, who do not support impeachment of the president. Do you think that they should be making their voices heard similarly in terms of coming out to the streets and protesting?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm all for public engagement, even when it's the side that I disagree with. It's part of a democracy, and sometimes I worry that in the 21st century, we've almost come to imagine democracies as being tidier than they really are. It's not simply committee votes and congressional hearings. Democracy also does involve protest. It involves going to town hall meetings. It involves participating in a very real way, and I think that if we had greater participation in this country, sure, we'd end up sometimes with some outcomes that weren't my personal political preference, but that's fine. I would much rather see a citizenry that voted at higher rates, that was more engaged, even if it meant that sometimes the outcome went against what I personally wanted.
And finally, you say in your piece that protests may be more important than in the past. Why do you think that is?
This is a point that Matthew Iglesias, a writer for Vox, made, and I found it really persuasive, which is Nixon had enormous support from Republican politicians and Republican voters for a very long time during Watergate. And in a weird way, that's a reason for optimism about where the Trump thing could end. Nixon had the backing of a lot of people for a long time. Actually, he had the backing of a lot of people until the very end. But ultimately, the leaders of the Republican Party turned against Nixon. And you had television networks who dominated the news, and the Watergate tapes made it on there. We've now got political parties that are much weaker. That's how Trump got the nomination. And we've got Fox News, which doesn't really worry about whether what it's saying is true. It's sort of an organ of the Republican Party at this point. And so when you have these elite organizations that are weaker than they used to be, I don't think this is going to end the way Watergate did. And thus, it's probably more important to have a public movement that is going to make the argument against Trump, even if to the very end, Fox News and President Trump's enablers in Congress continue to deny reality and do all these crazy gymnastics about what was a quid pro quo and what was not.
David Leonhardt is an op-ed columnist for The New York Times. David, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.